You're listening to DraftKings Network.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
This is the Dan Le Batard Show with the Stugatz Podcast.
Amin El Hassan has just popped into the chat here. I did not realize his suspension without pay was over. Has it been 2 weeks already? He is here as part of the pirate ship. The skipper, John Skipper, not real happy recently to learn that Amin El Hassan was part of the pirate ship because we're making announcements in a formal, professional manner, and Amin's out here doing things on Twitter that he shouldn't be doing. And so we'll get to that in a second with Amin El Hassan because he's already representing us in ways that are uncomfortable. But before we do that, Mike, can you please help the audience understand where they can get us soon in a way that's exciting to us? If the engineering works, if your optimism and hope are rewarded, because we can find ourselves with a television simulcast of what we're doing, possibly, maybe, if the engineers get it right, by what day?
Thursday. Visual accompaniment to your Dan Le Batard Show experience will be here Thursday. We already have an active Twitch channel, as some of you may know and subscribe to. If you haven't subscribed to that Twitch, it is Le Batard and Friends, and is spelled out A-N-D, and Friends, Le Batard and Friends. Find that out on Twitch, and we will go live on Thursday. Full local hour, full Big Suey, full hour one, full hour two, full post-game with some breaks in between, not static images. We're going to try to keep you entertained, and forgive us if Thursday is clunky, because we're going 40 minutes pretty much start to finish, live, one shot. We haven't been doing this live thing for a month, so we might be a little rusty, but it should be fun on Thursday.
And so there you have it. Amin El Hassan is here. Can you tell us, because a lot of things are happening, his 2 week suspension? Did he just pop into the chat? Is he ignoring the 2 weeks? It doesn't feel like it's been 2 weeks since he was suspended without pay for putting porn on Twitter.
I'm lifting the suspension, but the without pay thing still stands. Time served.
I didn't know I was suspended until maybe like 2 or 3 days ago. Someone said, "How's the suspension going?" I said, "Huh?
You don't know the backstory on this?"
No, I don't. I mean, I have an idea, but I didn't know that it had risen to those levels. I get an email from Skipper, like what's today? Today's Tuesday, Sunday night. I got an email from Skipper.
Yep.
And I'm getting called into the principal's office, and I'm like, wait, what are we talking about here? I had no idea.
So you've got a situation where he's already in trouble, Mike. He's not being paid by us. He just shows up one day, tears up his ESPN contract because he's the only ESPN voice that we can borrow because he tore up his contract. But nobody's making any announcements. Nobody knows what this company is or who we're hiring. And Amin can't be the first hire just because he tore up his contract. We got people lined up outside the door who want to be hired.
He announced it to us that he was joining the pirate ship, which means I can't really police him when he does something questionable on Twitter.
But he's a pirate. This is the problem. He's been given too much freedom. Amin, I've been talking to you about your Twitter account forever. You with maximum freedom is dangerous for everybody. You get on the pirate ship and you just chop heads off. You got a hook in one hand, you got a samurai sword in the other. We give you some freedom, and next thing you know, our CEO's got to reprimand you. Like, you're already in trouble.
Everybody loves pirates until pirates start being pirates, right? Like, what did I do? I was a pirate. Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't follow orders and wear a nice little suit. I'm a pirate. This is what pirates do. They're not warm and cuddly. Have you ever watched any pirate movie?
Yeah,
these guys are bad guys.
Put it on the poll, Guillermo. Did you ever know a pirate to make a porn joke? Because what I think of pirates and the movies, that's not something that I associate. I do not associate pirates with porn, although I have been known to pirate some porn.
Hey, first of all, I've never heard of a chivalrous pirate. That, let's throw that out there, one. But two, I did not do anything. I did not post anything pornographic. I don't know what people are talking about. I posted a GIF of Spider-Man shooting his web, and the web landed somewhere.
Amen.
I don't believe that that's what happened there. I believe that you, I don't even know what happened with our Reddit guy. You're arguing with him. Regardless, please represent us in a way that suggests that you know that you're representing us.
Yes, King George, I shall.
Pirates were riddled with venereal disease.
I don't think of pirates as porny. Do you put it on the poll, Guillermo, at Levitard Show? Do you think of pirates as porny? Can you help us, please, on Bradley Beal? I mean, because we were talking before about Bradley Beal and whether you can be a great player if you're, how great a player are you if you're really great all the time, but your teams always stink? Bradley Beal, the assessment on him is what?
I think there's a couple of things, Dan. First, you start off with, is he LeBron, Kevin Durant, that level? No, he's not. So you set that aside, and you say, how can a great player be on a team that doesn't win? And I think the big thing you're talking about, which is something that you've talked about, I've heard you guys talk about football for the last couple of days, that's called a bad organization, right? Deshaun Watson, you guys are all slobbering all over him, but no one has stopped to say, well, the Texans weren't that good, so how good is Deshaun Watson? No, we know he's great, and we know he's put in a position where ineptitude is inevitable, pretty much. Aaron Rodgers, yes, he's at, conference finals a couple of years, the Super Bowl in the past, but there are vast years where the Packers weren't that good. And so do we say Aaron Rodgers isn't that good, or do we recognize that the structure around him is faulty? And the last example I'll give you, if you remember, right when the Packers job and the Browns job was open, and Mike said, the Browns job is way better. I said, no, it's not, Mike. He said, what? We got Odell Beckham. We got my man who got the goods, dude, and all that. I said, Mike, it's a terrible organization. They'll find a way to mess it up, right? And yes, they had a good season this year, but guess what? The Packers have had two better seasons. And so when you talk about Bradley Beal, you have to keep in mind the organizational kind of ineptitude sometimes holds back the greatness of a player.
I hear what you're saying, but tell me the organizational leadership that there is in Green Bay, because their ownership structure is unlike any other team in the NFL. Sometimes you can get lucky. Bad owners sometimes get great players. Look what happened with the Chicago Bulls and Michael Jordan. Sometimes you just get lucky. The Green Bay Packers in my lifetime have had two of the greatest quarterbacks we've ever seen play in the game. Right now, what you're seeing is a whole lot of people with a whole bunch of job security letting down their greatest quarterback ever, and this is a franchise with Brett Favre and Bart Starr.
My rebuttal is, I'm not saying that there are a paramount of excellence in sports management. I'm saying they're not the Cleveland Browns, Mike. Like, that's what you got to understand. We talk about the Cleveland Browns. You are the bottom four.
You just be careful. I understand Jimmy Haslam asked who a hobo who he should draft one time, but he's learned from his mistakes. He now has hardware, being that the Columbus Crew are MLS champions. On the upward trajectory, old Jimmy Haslam.
Greg Cody, you are somebody.
What was that?
You are somebody. It was a distracted by engineers, Mike playing the hits on Brown Homer.
It was old timey, the end of it. The dismount was old timey.
Look, just because you don't know Jimmy Haslam owns the Columbus Crew, that is not a strike against me. It's a strike against you.
I just saw somebody run through his studio I've never seen before as he was doing all of that. And it's a person who I think had my money in his hands and just ran off into the shadows. I don't know if it's one of our security people
or what,
but Mike right now is, there are people wandering around. And so what just happened to him was he went to Homer Mike Brown's content, and instead we just got indifferent Mike, bored, yeah. Homer Mike.
Yeah, and you were trying to make a Bradley Beal point, and I started fighting with you over the lack of ownership in Green Bay.
That's correct.
By the way, I like, in the movies when they want to pull off a heist, all they got to do is put on a hat and a jacket and then walk into the service entrance and everyone thinks they work there. I imagine that's what's happening at the studio right now. Guys are just putting on a jacket, maybe a little tuxedo or something like that, and they walk right in, and Dan assumes they're part of the help and throws money.
No, but I mean, this is what is happening around here. What's happening around here is somebody shows up, walks through, looks like they belong, and I'm like, how much do I owe you? And so that's what's happening around here. And I wanted to get to Cody, though, as it relates to what you're saying about Beal, because he's a Heat homer. And Heat fans have gone from, yes, yes, Giannis. Yes, exciting, Giannis. Okay, I'm going to argue about whether, do I want Harden? Do I not want Harden? Do I want him? Oh, he's gone? Oh, I kind of wanted Harden. Okay, never mind. And now it's like, do I have to settle for Bradley Beal? I've been sitting around here for a while. I've wanted something. So, Cody, tell Amin, how do you feel about this? Do you want Bradley Beal on the Miami Heat? Yes or no?
I'm not sure what the cost would be. Maybe Amin has a better idea than I do. But the Heat, what are they, 6-10 right now? But look, until Jimmy Butler's back, until they're at full strength, I'm nowhere near the panic button on the Heat, even this early in another truncated season. I don't think they need to have Bradley Beal. And what would he cost? Like, what is the market?
Bradley Beal is averaging 35 points a game on 49% shooting, 36 from three. I mean, the guy is incredible. Get him over here.
Yeah, this is as no-brainer of a desire as you can get, because this guy's an elite shooter. He's a multi-talented scorer. He can pass the ball. He's a playmaker. He's not a point guard, but he's, in terms of the way that Heat want to play, with a lot of moving bodies and kind of relocation and multi-skilled players. You think about Goran Dragic and you know, Tyler Hero and Jimmy Butler. These are all guys that can do different things. They're not really in a box. Bradley Beal fits that perfectly. And so the cost, obviously, Tyler Hero, I think, would be the starting point right there. Draft picks would absolutely be part of the compensation. And then it gets interesting from there. Does Duncan Robinson have to be part of that package as well or not? But when you talk about that, Greg, it's like, I hear people like, oh, they shouldn't trade Tyler Hero. I said, what's the best case scenario of Tyler Hero? If he turns into Bradley Beal, you have hit the home run of all home runs. Or you could go get Bradley Beal right now. So it doesn't make sense to feel clingy to any one of these assets, really.
Okay, but I mean, you've worked in an NBA front office. What do you give up? Be specific. If you're Pat Riley right now thinking about this, what do you give up for Bradley Beal?
Well, do you put Duncan in there? Do you put Duncan Robinson in there?
Hold on. Before you do that, I mean, Greg, I want to address, though, what do you want to get Bradley Beal for? Because this is my point. After four decades in journalism in this city, I feel like you still relapse into, well, I want to get someone who's a superstar, but I don't want to give up either Tyler Hero or Duncan Robinson. Can I do it for Olynyk and Kendrick Nunn? I'd be willing to do that. And this is the part I find you frustrating that way, because you've learned nothing in 40 years.
Well, that's not true. But there's a line to be drawn everywhere. And we talked about it earlier with the Dolphins and Deshaun Watson. You know, you present a deal and then I can have a formed opinion on whether it's a good deal or not.
I mean, do they give up their backcourt? Yes or no? For Bradley Beal, do you give up Tyler Hero and Duncan Robinson? Yes or no?
I think you start by saying, well, you can't have them all. And you try and see, because it's really not about the best package the Heat can provide. It's about the best package they can provide against anyone else's offer, right? You have to kind of gauge what the landscape is in terms of who else is in a Bradley Beal conversation and what are they offering. The second part of this, obviously, which should probably be the first part, is Bradley Beal's opinion matters too, right? If he says, I want to go to Miami and I don't want to go anywhere else, then that means something as well. Now, I know he's got this year, next year, and then an option on a third year left on his deal. But the reality is, a year and a half is short enough time to scare away anyone who is not on his list, so to speak. Yeah. So I think you're in a little bit of a driver's seat there. To me, if I'm Miami, I do a lot of either ors. Do you want Duncan or do you want Tyler Hero, right? You can have either. You can't have both. And you play that game because ultimately you're negotiating against every other deal. You're not negotiating against yourself.
If we're talking about compensation for a Bradley Beal trade, should we not note the fact that the Heat right now cannot trade a first-round pick? They have to remove protections from a 2023 pick in order to trade a single first-round pick. So I don't see, when you see, you know, Drew Holiday is traded for three firsts and three swaps, and the James Harden deal just had three firsts and four swaps, how the Heat can pull off the draft compensation to do this?
That's the part, Chris, where you start doing other side deals. That's why you can't throw all the players into a Beal deal, because you're saying, if you guys want picks, I got to go out and get those picks for you. And so you can't trade your own pick, but I can go out and acquire a pick and send that out. And that's a thing. The other thing is pick swaps. Yes, you can't send your pick. You can send out pick swaps. We saw that in both the Drew Holiday deal and the James Harden deal in those off years. So what Chris is talking about, real quick for the listeners that don't know, there's a rule called the Stepien rule that basically prohibits an NBA team from saying, I'll give you my 2021 and my 2022 and my 2023. You can't give consecutive first round picks in the future. So the way they do it is they may go every other year. So the workaround for this, in order to provide compensation, is you offer the pick swap in those off years. And that's one way to go about it, Chris, to get around that. The other way is, let me go out and buy some picks for you, buying by trading some of these other things. Maybe it's Goran Dragic. Maybe it's Andre Iguodala. Maybe it's, let me go get picks so I can give these to you as well.
Chris Cody, I don't know if his father knows him well enough to see what just happened to him during that segment, but he, as he elbows his way up the corporate ladder, and Chris Whittingham has arrived, just sort of untangling some draft compensation stuff that Chris Cody couldn't quite understand.
Are you serious? You mean he made this segment boring, talking about draft picks and compensation, and get over yourself.
Now, Chris, I'm going to give you one piece of advice, Chris Cody. This is how you can even the score here. You see what Chris has? He's got glasses on. You get glasses, Chris. Dan will respect you more. He'll think you're a lot smarter and you're giving more nuanced questions. Just go get you a pair of spectacles. I
mean, he also said it with a mask on. Like, we get you. You're super safe. You're the COVID safe guy, wearing a mask everywhere, talking on air with a mask.
Andy got in there, though. How about no lack of aggression from Whittingham on wanting to unspool a tapestry of protected and unprotected consecutive draft pick minutia?
Yeah, but that glasses theory has been disproven because I'm wearing glasses, so I don't think that's going to work.
Greg Cody just took off his glasses, and it terrified me. I haven't seen Greg Cody without glasses in about 50 years.
Here, let me do a little lesson for Witty right here. You want to make that segment good? It's a Beal deal. A Beal. That's it.
Oh, Jesus
Christ.
He's
got you there. He just checkmated your ass, Whittingham. Get back to the bottom of the show business ladder. Do not crawl or climb past Chris Cody.
Not to betray the Chris's, but Chris Whittingham also put that in the chat 5 minutes ago.
Damn it! You're a snitch, man.
Damn it! He was trying to help everybody. Funny? He was trying to help everybody, and eventually he's like, somebody's got to get in here and do the job. Nobody here knows anything about the unprotected picks, so that he and Amin can both drag the show right into the ninja pool talking about unprotected picks.
One last note, because we've probably bored people with Bradley Beal talk, but Chris Whittingham, who's been spectacular this segment, alerted me to the fact that at a 3-8 record in the games that Bradley Beal has played in, Bradley Beal, from one of the worst teams in the league, still has a positive plus minus. He's been an incredible player.
So real quick on that. That's the other thing about the Wizards that's kind of unfortunate, is that they're not as bad as their record is. Bill Parcells have a seat. Net rating is your best predictor of how good you are as a team. The Wizards' net rating up until that San Antonio loss that was pretty big was like around -1.5, which would be a team that should be hovering around 500. Instead, they've had the second worst record in their conference. They've had a lot of close losses due to like lack of execution in the game. So they're not quite as bad as they look.
Hold on. Before you go down that path, I want to bring in Greg Cody, who is no longer wearing glasses. Are you guys as weirded out by this as I am? Because Greg without glasses looks much differently. Greg, Amin El-Hassan knows basketball. And we did not play that imaging. We need to play that imaging because we got it in part of the negotiations with ESPN. It was important to us. I wrestled it away from ESPN so that we can have this in the event that one day maybe we'd be able to work with Amin again.
Wrestle.
Time to talk basketball. Amin knows basketball. LC2 basketball. Expert in basketball.
Amin El-Hassan does know basketball. He just hit us with net rating. Net rating is not exactly an advanced metric, but it is something that I would believe Greg Cody to not be familiar with and to also rail against. So he just told you a better measurement is available to you, Greg Cody, of net rating than the standings on what a team is. How did you absorb that information? Because I felt like you were just nodding your head and totally ignoring him.
Well, nobody respects Amin El-Hassan's basketball knowledge like me. That's why he's been one of the few three-time guests on my own podcast to talk hoops and other stuff. But The only team in the NBA that should have a net rating is the team in Brooklyn because they're the Nets. Give me the plus minus. That's all I need. You're outscoring the other team by 5.6. That means you're pretty good. You're being outscored by 3.2. Not so good. That's all I need. Plus minus.
Not plus minus.
Now, Witty, on the other hand, was like touching himself during that net rating talk.
All right, that was point differential. Oh, don't talk about touching yourself about Amin El-Hassan or we'll get in trouble with the CEO again. Ron McGill has come into the room, into the Zoom. We will get to him in just a moment. But I want to have this conversation seriously because, I mean, who are the teams in the league, just according to net rating? Who are the teams in the league right now that we're getting it wrong on? Because both conferences are totally flat. Nobody is standing out other than the Lakers. So what is it that you're making of all of that?
So I'll give you an example from the other end of the spectrum. The Oklahoma City Thunder are 7-9, and everyone's like, oh, they're doing it again. They're in the mix. Like last year, you guys counted them out, and they're scrapping their way to a 500 record. But their net rating is somewhere in the neighborhood of -7, which is equivalent to a team that is one of the worst teams in the league. So Oklahoma City is a team that when they win by small margins. But when they lose, they're being demolished. This is a team that is a bad basketball team. No disrespect to their coaching staff or to their players. They're just not good. And sooner or later, that's going to catch up to them. They're going to have one of the worst records in the league this year.
Ron, is there an animal comparison to the Oklahoma City Thunder in the animal kingdom, an animal that a lot of people think is good? You've been blasphemous before on the subject of the bald eagle, blaspheming against American patriotism and freedom.
It wasn't blasphemous, Dan. I was just stating a fact that the bald eagle would just as soon feed on something that's dead, carrion, or go to a garbage dump as it would to go catch its own food. That's all I was saying. It's basically a vulture with a good PR agent. Beautiful bird, majestic bird, but it's an opportunist, man. You know, it's like you. If you have to go hunt your food or you had someone just serve it to you on a nice plate, which way would you go?
So Ron McGill, clearly anti-American, a buzzard with a good PR
disgusting
agent. Yeah,
on,
it really
man.
Is. I mean, bald eagles. That's right, Billy. Yeah, just.
Totally. I mean, it sounds like a bald eagle is emblematic of America, doing what it needs to do to get by, survive. Yeah. And Ron is here. Oh, let's go have some steak and shrimp, surf and turf.
Oh, well, no, wait a minute. Wait a minute, Billy. Listen, guys. The bald eagle has got two options. Any one of you guys, you have two options. You're going to have to go out and hunt your food. You got to go chase it down. You're going to have to go prepare it all yourself. Or you're going to have, or you're going to have it handed to you on a silver platter. Okay? It's going to be handed to you on a silver platter and you can just eat it in front of you. Which way are you going to go, guys? Let's be honest. Come on. I'm just trying to be an honest person here. It's a beautiful bird. It's a majestic bird. I wouldn't want to try to hand grab one. They have powerful talons, a powerful bill. They're great. But they're opportunists, as we are as Americans, okay? We take the best advantage of an opportunity. So in effect, it's a compliment. Just because you call it a vulture with a good PR, there's nothing wrong with vultures. They're important birds. They play a huge role in keeping us safe
Guillermo.
By eating dead organisms so there's no passing on of diseases and bacteria and things like that. So stop making assumptions by what I call something.
Guillermo, put it on the poll, please. Is there nothing wrong with vultures at Lebatard Show? Keep an eye on your phone there, Greg Cody and McGill. We can't have it going off during a segment again. Is there someone else other than the bald eagle that you would point to and say, you know, a little bit overrated? Oklahoma City Thunder, not as good as you think, as an animal, as you think.
Well, I bring it up. I hate to bring up another bird, but we've talked about it before, you know, an owl. People look at an owl and they think the wise old owl, such a smart, smart bird. When in fact, it is one of the least intelligent of the birds. Now, I do never use a word like stupid
an
or
idiot.
Dumb.
He's those an words idiot. That you the, use. The owl is an idiot. The owl is
no,
an idiot.
See, Dan, that's wrong. That's wrong. You get into the name calling thing. That's all wrong. It is not a very intelligent bird. It has incredible physical abilities, eyesight, hearing, but these things are what kind of take away from its intellectual ability. So the owl, whereas many people perceive it as this wise, incredibly smart animal, is not very smart at all.
How'd they get wise? How did they get wise? I want to get wise. How did they get wise?
Because they look wise. You know, they do that little head turn. They kind of go slowly and they have those big eyes and they look very intelligent because they do everything methodically, but they're not wise. And then, of course, you know, the Wise potato chips, that whole company jumped on that logo and just perpetuated the myth even further.
Is that why? That can't be the reason. Are you telling me that, is it possible that owls are viewed as wise, the opposite of what they are, because they're idiots, because of the wise potato chips?
No, no, I'm saying that they were viewed as wise, which is why the wise potato chips use the name wise, okay? Oh. Because the myth of them being intelligent was in the beginning. And then wise jumped on that. Now, people are probably going to say, well, wise potato chips are as they are, not that wise. They're not that good. If the truth came out about owls, then it might hurt the brand. I don't know.
Amin, is there a basketball comp for someone that is assumed to be wise that isn't?
No comment.
Oh, no. What are we not paying you for?
Oh, what are we? Oh, no, I'm a coward. Oh, when I was a pirate, everyone was clutching their pearls. Oh, my God, the pirate is pillaging and burning things. And now when a pirate says, well, you know, I've been prosecuted 8 million times in the last 2 weeks. Now, all of a sudden, I'm a coward. You're
the
coward.
Welcome to my hell. Welcome to my hell.
Good God, everyone settle down. I tried to shout because I don't like your no comments. What are we not paying you for? And the pirate swashbuckling just kept cutting off arms and couldn't be stopped. Let's go around the room here. Any questions you got for Ron McGill? And Amin, if you have any animal questions, let me know. But before we do that, I want to thank our audience on behalf of Ron McGill because... Oh. It's crazy, right, Ron?
I'm telling you, Dan, I've been at the zoo for 41 years. I've never been more moved, more blown away by a response from an audience that I've never personally met in my life. This has been something, you know, I forward you the numbers. It's just unbelievable how these listeners have come through to support wildlife. It's like nothing we've ever experienced. Everybody at the zoo is looking at me like, how did you do that? How'd you do that? And I said, I went and I called the bald eagle a vulture with a good PR agent, Dan Levitard.
This is what is happening around here, which is very exciting for us, right? Because right now we are not making anything other than jokes and announcements because we're sitting here floating around and we've told you, because you believe in the spirit of that, we've told you that Ron McGill for 10 years has been like that mustache, honest to God, has been a bit of a beacon here, like where a lighthouse in a storm. We will go where it is because Ron McGill was an animal guy that the sports crowd executives didn't want to be a part of what we were doing, but the Miami show refused to change and was going to stay Miami, and you couldn't ask us to not be Miami by our first move going national, getting rid of our popular friend, a guy we love. We're not going to do that. And so just by telling the audience that story and telling the audience specifically that for the last few years we've only been able to raise these giant sums of money with meet and greets because Disney has one charity – we have our own for the moment as part of what it is that we're doing as this machine becomes something that I hope is also a giving machine on causes.
I mean, you're giving plenty right now.
The causes that we care about. But look, the offshoot of that, right? The offshoot of people believing in what's happening around here. I'm giving plenty, none of it to Amin. Amin is throwing up his hands. Why am I not getting anything in the security guard?
If you
want
to pick up engineering as a side hobby, we got you.
Anyway, the point of it being that in order to support, I mean, they've been supporting YouTube by Cameo. They've been they are supporting people by giving money away. And one of the ways that they did it is, and we'll tell them one more time because it'll happen again when I say this, is to raise just a ton of money for this endowment just by telling them, hey, Ron's riding with us. Ron loves us. We love Ron. And so, Ron, one more time, just tell the people what it is that you do and what it is that you do for the animals so they know what it is that they're giving
and,
to.
And before you tell people exactly where they can go to help, we're going to make it very easy. If you're listening to us via podcast, which is the only way to listen to us today, there is a link to Ron's endowment in the episode description, making it very easy and seamless for you.
I appreciate that, Dan. I appreciate it, Mike. Listen, you know, like I said before, I didn't come to work at the zoo 41 years ago to work for an attraction. As a matter of fact, I'm one who doesn't believe ever in taking an animal out of the wild and putting it under human care. Having said that, the overwhelming majority of the animals here were born under human care, were not taken out of the wild. But in a perfect world, we wouldn't need any zoos. Having said that, if zoos are to exist, we've got to protect the animals in the wild. Because if the zoo is the last place you can see these animals, we as an institution have been an epic failure, which is why I came up with creating this endowment. This endowment is basically a place where people can make donations. Their money never gets spent. That money just adds to a corpus that then produces dividends that enables that money can only be spent in the wild. That money can only help conservation efforts in the wild. Not a penny of that money gets spent here at the zoo. It is only spent to protect animals in the wild because I believe that's what we have to do. And I wanted that to be some kind of a legacy. I said, you know, I don't want to die and think, oh, what did I do? Work at a zoo for over 40 years and what did you leave behind? Nothing. So we created this endowment. Anybody who donates to that endowment, that money goes in there. It is, they'll all get a personal letter from me, and it just creates more money. This year, folks, the endowment was able to give away close to $100,000 to everything from putting radio collars on elephants to help elephants in the wild, helping sloths in Panama, helping bears in India. It's just unbelievable what we've been able to do to help preserve these animals in the wild. We sent folks thousands and thousands of dollars to Australia to help the koalas after the fire. And that all came from the endowment. And everybody, again, I feel like I'm not being expressive enough to tell the people how thankful I am. I sent Dan the numbers. After just 2 days, we received tens of thousands of dollars from people around the country, from almost every state in the country, saying they wanted to help with this. And they believed in it and said really nice things about me, even though they keep calling me a doctor. I'm not a doctor, guys. Let me make that clear. I am not a doctor. But I really appreciate the comments. People just made great comments. And listen, guys, we're all leaving a legacy. Long after all of us are dead and gone, that endowment will remain and continue to provide money to help preserve this wildlife for our kids and their kids after that. So, I just can't say thank you enough. I don't understand. I can't comprehend the power of your listeners. It's just unbelievable.
They really support the stuff, and we appreciate it. It's why we're in here doing what we're doing right now. Roy, what do you have for Ron McGill?
Ron, Martha Stewart has launched a line of cannabis-infused doggy treats. How is that going to help or hurt dogs?
Well, listen, I don't know. I mean, I'm not a veterinarian, but I will tell you this. I mean, cannabis has obviously been proved to have strong medicinal purposes with human beings. And there's not a huge jump from humans to animals when it comes to medical care. So I think that if veterinarians, if it can scientifically be proven that cannabis can help out animals, whether it be with anxiety, whether it be with whatever problem, because animals experience the same problems we experience, okay? So similar treatments, and again, I think it's been scientifically proven that cannabis can be used to help people in certain situations, so why not be able to help dogs? Now, Martha Stewart's maybe jumping on the bandwagon. I don't know what kind of a cannabis expert she is, but hopefully she's working under some kind of veterinary guidance.
Amin, is there an MBA comp for someone excelling while using cannabis?
According to Charles Oakley, 75% of the league.
Lamar Odom. Greg Cody, what do you have for Ron McGill?
Ron, you're a champion of animal rights. And the other day, I accidentally and briefly found myself watching a bit of professional rodeo on TV. And I thought to myself, would Ron McGill approve? What do you think of rodeo?
Yeah, I'm not a huge fan of rodeo. I got to be honest with you, Greg. You know, there are certain elements of rodeo. There are certain elements, you know, barrel racing, I think is great. I think that some of the events in rodeo, but when it comes to jumping off a horse on top of a running calf, I'm not a big fan of that. I'm not a big fan of putting a strap under a horse to make it buck, you know, to make a steer buck. That's obviously something that makes the animal uncomfortable. That's why the animal's doing it. It's the desperate effort to get you off of it. And I just don't think we should be putting any animal through that kind of stress for our entertainment. I have tremendous respect. And I got to make this very clear. You know, I know so many of these cowboys, so many of these rodeo guys, they love their animals. Don't get me wrong. They love their animals. They just have this adrenaline rush, this sense of competition, and that's something that drives them. But as an animal person, I just always try to put myself in the place of the animal. And you know what? That animal's not doing it because it's fun. The animal's doing it because they put a bucking strap under it and it wants to get you off. So I just don't think it's right to put an animal through there.
How about the running of the bulls?
I like the running of the bulls when they get the guys that are running, because it's what I call natural selection, okay? If you're going to run in front of a bull, you're asking to get gored. You know, that really doesn't bother me. What it does is it reflects the stupidity of some of these people that are running in the street from bulls running after them. It doesn't make any sense to me. But again, and I feel terrible saying this, but every time I see a bull get somebody, I go, yeah, all right, I'm rooting for the bulls.
Yeah, you are.
And that's bad. I think I've been skewed that way.
Terrible
and I apologize for that.
Terrible
because I should
person.
Never do that. I should never root for anybody to get hurt.
And
I guess deep down inside, I really don't want anybody to get hurt. And yet that human side of me is sitting there, yeah, you want to run in front of the bull? You deserve to get one right up
the butt. See, this is what? This is why, baby, this is why you are a PETA zealot. That's what's happening right there.
No.
Zealot.
I am not a PETA zealot, okay? If there's a roach in my house, I step on that roach, bro. That roach is dead. I don't like roaches, and I have no reason to ever keep one alive in my house. You come in my house as a roach, you're going to die, okay? You come in my house as a rodent. If I can't get you out safely, and I got to say, you're not living in my house with me. I'm sorry. You're going to die. Okay. I'm going to do it as humanely as possible. I'm not going to put out like glue traps and stuff like that. But trust me, I believe that animals can be treated humanely and they can still serve a purpose in our society, whether it be for food, whether it be for product, whatever it is. It is a circle of life in that way. So please don't ever label me an extremist in that way, because I am not. Extremism in any form is dangerous.
Ron, last night when I was walking my dog, I saw what was either a mouse or a rat laying on its side, not moving. I assumed it was dead, so I avoided it when walking back. And then I looked back and saw it just move its head, get up, and run away. Do mice or rats fake death, I guess, if they're threatened, or was it possibly injured, or was it asleep? What was happening there?
No, it was probably rodenticide. It probably got poison. Poison is kind of a slow process, and that when you see animals like rodents out in the wild, especially on their side like that, out in open air, they've been poisoned. And the problem with that, the problem I have with using these types of rat poisons is what happens is a hawk or an owl will see that owl, that rat, and grab it and eat it. And then that rodenticide is transmitted to the owl and the hawk. And I cannot tell you how many birds of prey we get at our rehabilitation facilities here in South Florida every week that have been poisoned by eating rats that have been poisoned. So people need to really think twice before they're putting out these poisons, because it goes all the way down the food chain. Whenever you see a rodent or any animal like that laying on its side, and then it starts to move and looks better and then lays on its side again, it's going through that cycle of being poisoned, and unfortunately it's probably going to die. And unfortunately that poison is going to be transmitted to whatever ends up eating it.
Ron, earlier you were talking about vultures as being necessary to the ecosystem, to the circle of life. What is the least necessary animal that if it went extinct, we wouldn't really miss it that much?
You know, I mean, I want to say the damn mosquito, but, you know, it is food for so many different animals, especially things like bats. But I got to believe that if we didn't have the mosquito here, the loss of food, there would be other insects that could be eaten. You know, there's no animal that I know of that feeds strictly on mosquitoes. So I think by eliminating mosquitoes, you're eliminating not just an animal that bites us and annoys us, but really the greatest killer of all animals. More people have died because of mosquitoes than any other animal on Earth. So I think if I had to choose one, I would think the mosquito. I think something else would fill that niche and it could be eaten. I don't think there's any single animal that feeds strictly on mosquitoes that if the mosquitoes were eliminated, they'd all starve and die. They would adapt and eat something else. So mosquitoes are my choice to get the hell out of town.
Roy, what do you have for Ron McGill?
Ron, the population of gray whales off the coast of Baja California has been thinning out and dying. And for the past couple of years, it's just been about 400 whales that have died. And scientists don't seem to know why. Do you have any theories about this?
You know, I don't, Roy. I can tell you that, you know, those whales, their numbers are going down. And yet things like blue whales, their numbers are going up as many other whales are going up. I think a lot of environmental people we've cut back on the whaling. There's been huge rebounds in many whale populations. The only thing I can think of, Roy, is just climate change. You know, as the oceans are warming, the patterns of food are changing, and we're going to see a lot of fluctuations in different populations. Some animals will benefit, a lot of animals will not. The only thing that I can see that has been changing on a consistent level going up while we're still doing all this great environmental stuff to try to help protect whales is things that we are not able to control right now, that climate change. And I think that really has incredible effects on so many animals that we're learning more and more about every day. So climate change is going to be my choice for any kind of loss in the gray whale population.
Ron, could we get rid of mosquitoes if we were trying to get rid of mosquitoes? Is it like, how would we go about doing that from decision to actual practically technically doing it? Can we do that?
Well, we can do that because we've genetically modified mosquitoes to where we can catch mosquitoes and we can sterilize them. And we can sterilize them to where they don't reproduce. The thing is, it is such an epic task when you think of the gazillions of mosquitoes in the world in so many different climates. And again, I would hesitate to do that only because, in my head I'm thinking, well, there's got to be something else that can replace it. But there's a reason for mosquitoes. You know, there's an old saying, Dan, you can't mess with Mother Nature. There's a good reason for everything that's here. As much as I despise mosquitoes, they obviously play an important role. But feasibly, I certainly think we could do that. It would be an enormous epic task. It would cost a gazillion dollars to do. But if we really to focus on it, I think we could wipe out anything we wanted to.
You love sandwiches, huh?
What?
You love sandwiches, huh?
What was that?
You love sandwiches, huh?
Oh, okay. I got it. I just got pumped. All right. Thanks, guys. I don't, sometimes I don't get the show, but then I get it.
Ask him another question. Ask him another one.
Do you think steroid-tainted guys like Clemens and Bond should eventually make the Hall of Fame?
No.
Wow. Shocking PETA zealot Ron McGill.
I'm not a PETA zealot. Stop that.
Yeah, cool. Dan's a zealot about pitas.
What's the single most important thing the Falcons have to do to beat the Patriots?
I guess you got a deck. You just punch a button.
Ron, thank you for being – well, now if we had it –
You're on to us.
If we just had a deck, you'd just hear from Goat Piss Mike. You would have – if we had a deck, we would have
– I miss him. Well, I miss that.
Chris, aren't you trying to reach Ghost – aren't you trying – haven't you been in contact lately with Goat Piss Mike?
Oh, Billy, me, and Roy are interviewing him today.
You guys are the bomb and a bag of chips, man.
Wait a minute. What was that?
And a bag of chips.
What was
thanks,
that?
Thanks, Ron.
Wise
Ron,
chips.
Ron, all right. All right, Ron, thank you for being on with us.
Have a good day, guys. Take care.
If you own a vehicle with less than 200,000 miles and have an auto warranty about to expire or no warranty coverage at all, listen up. CarShield has a low-cost, month-to-month vehicle protection plan that covers more parts than ever. Visit carshield.com/audio to find out how you could pay almost nothing for covered auto repairs. Drivers who activate this vehicle protection today will also receive free roadside assistance, free towing, and car rental options at no additional cost. Get your free quote today at carshield.com/audio. That's carshield.com/audio.